Today, Marcus gets old, I take a deep breath of the wild, and Marzipan makes a ruckus. Then we ask, what makes a good party game? All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello, and welcome to episode 29 of Trust Circle. I am your host, Devin Valdivia. I am joined by my wife, Valerie Valdivia.
Present.
And TopShelfGaming.net founder, co-founder, editor-in-chief, stutterer, crazy person, Marcus Garrett.
Hey,
hey there,
there,
ladies and spaghettis. Beat you to it.
Ladies and spaghettis.
I did it.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
That noise you're hearing is our guest today, Marzipan Estrella Rustad, also known as mine and Valerie's cat. She decided...
It's really Valerie's cat.
She decided that said right now, at recording, was the perfect time to start playing.
She was like a blob on the floor for the past hour.
She has slept literally all day long.
Literally. I had to pick her up to get her to walk on her paws over to her food.
And the moment we're like, all right, let's quiet down. Let's have this podcast.
Yeah, Marta's good. She's right there. Nope, she just, oh, no, I got to play with the tissue paper right now. Like, this is very important to me.
Who gave her the paper, Valerie?
I gave it to her about a week ago. It's been sitting on the floor for about a week.
All these expensive cat toys, and turns out a sheet of paper and like 30-cent mice.
I haven't bought any expensive cat toys. I've discovered there's an inverse relationship between the amount a cat toy or apparatus costs and the enjoyment that your cat will get out of it. Because her favorite things, an old drawstring, these 33-cent mice I got from the pet store that have catnip in them, and a ball of tissue paper.
That's
pretty cheap.
That's basically free.
That's basically free.
That's all she needs.
Yeah. Oh, she's on the prowl right now. She is looking for her next... That cat is scheming. She's a scheming kitty.
She's my little huntress.
When you hear her screaming, she be a scheming.
Okay.
No? All right, well, this is Trust Circle, Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only podcast, where every other, apparently, at least for the time being, and by time being, I mean today, we get around this little TV stand of a table, and we talk about games with one person who doesn't really like games.
I don't dislike them, I just like... All you want to talk about is video games.
Not true, we opened up with Marzipan.
I hate video games.
No, you don't.
I am the one on this podcast who hates them, and it's obviously you, Devin, and Valerie, who are the video game fans, correct?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Yep.
Valerie just can't stop talking about all the games in the entire world. Like, for instance, Valerie.
Tell us about your favorite game. I think it's called The World Ends With You. What,
I don't know what that game is.
What happens in that game?
The world ends, one assumes.
Tell me, based on context clues. Tell me about your favorite game, because you play video games every day, right?
I played Two Dots on my cellular phone.
Yeah, but we're talking about the World Ends With You, so yeah. Like, tell us about that game.
I've heard a lot about this, but I want to hear, you know, from a first-hand fan, like, what that game's all about.
What is this goof? I've never played it.
I just want to know about this game,
what
Valerie.
What is this USDA Primo Uncut goofs we're having right here?
Right now, the info ends with you, so if you don't don't give us something to go off of, like, the podcast has to end.
Tell us about this game. We're just curious.
My cat is in the other room, and she won't make me talk about video games, and I'm 1 second away from retreating to her.
Okay, fine. I will talk about video games, because I have spent a significant amount of my time since we last recorded playing a certain video game that I, on this very podcast, raised significant concern over. And that game is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
I told you so, Devin.
You did. You
and
did.
You doubted me, and you know, it was hurtful. And I'm not even joking. It was very hurtful when you said all those negative things about Zelda, and it really brought me down.
It better be good, otherwise Marcus is going to be so sad. Oh, it better be good.
But to be fair,
Marcus,
if it hadn't
get
been
his
good,
little,
Marcus would have been really sad.
Yeah, but it wasn't going to be good.
Mm-hmm. That's not true. I mean, yes. what I thought. I got the game. But here's the thing.
How did you get the game, Devin?
You don't
own a Nintendo Switch or a Wii U.
I sure don't.
What happened?
I stole yours while you were drunk on your birthday.
I wasn't drunk.
You were drunk on social...
Exertion.
I was feeling generous because I wanted the doubter to experience Zelda.
You were proselytizing.
No, I just I didn't want you to buy a Switch for it because I don't believe that you deserve a Switch. I honestly don't. I don't let you touch mine. I don't think you deserve it. And so I was like, the only way he's going to play Zelda is on a Wii U.
Let me put it this way. The only game I've played on the Switch was kind of lame.
1-2 Switch.
We played 1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
Some of them were good.
Wizard
is the best game.
Was great.
That's the best game on.
I have to say, though, I was disappointed by the cow milking game.
Mm.
I expected it to be a little more visceral.
I didn't.
I wanted to taste the milk.
I wanted to taste the milk.
I had milk in my fridge. I could have just given you milk.
Valerie was stuck rolling dice for like 10 minutes.
That game was difficult. There was one Nintendo Switch, 1-2 Switch game where you just roll dice. But then you have to like guess your other person's dice. But all you're doing is like sitting there with a little tiny Kit Kat size controller in your hand, just like shaking it. And like nothing's happening.
Yeah.
That was but, really fun.
Yeah, Wizard was fun. You get to point your Switch cat at each other like a little wizard.
Mm-hmm.
You get to fight. You get to reenact the amazing climactic battle from Harry Potter.
And the Deathly Hallows.
Part 2.
Or Sorcerer's Stone between Baby Harry and Baby Malfoy.
Yeah. Did they go to wizard baby daycare?
No, I meant like first year.
Oh.
Like first year Harry and first year Malfoy.
Just babies. Like swaddled.
Not just actual like, babies. like baby spells are just like super potent because they're all just... They're all like actual spell words.
Yeah, they're just pure.
They got these like chunky like Fisher Price wands.
Yeah.
No, but after your birthday party, which we'll talk more about, I took home your Wii U,
mm-hmm.
and that very night I purchased from the Nintendo eShop my very
so
first
digital,
Nintendo
so
eShop. Yeah. So literally the worst decision I could have made.
It's just on my Wii U
now. I can't get it. It's on your hard drive technically.
I own it twice.
Yeah, you own it twice. But
I'm
bought.
I'm okay with that.
I bought Breath of the Wild. I was considering buying it physically. There were two problems. One, it was available in like one Walmart in, I think, Westminster. Within
That's
like
not very far.
No, but it's not in Tustin.
Yeah.
And I talked to Valerie and I was like, well, we can drive out there in the morning and try to get it, or I can just get it. So then I just got it. And spent all day Sunday playing it because we didn't go anywhere Sunday. Turns out that game's pretty cool.
Yep.
Turns out the game is pretty big.
Yep.
Turns out it's pretty pretty.
Yep.
Turns out it runs surprisingly okay on the Wii U.
Yep.
There's some hiccups every now and then. Yep. But I hear there's some hiccups every now and then on the Switch.
Yep.
You have hiccups every now and then.
So does Marzipan. We all have hiccups every now and then.
She burps every now and then. So cute.
No, I mean, everyone's talking about this game, and I can safely say now for myself, like, all the talk it's getting is valid. This game, the best way I can sum it up, I think, is what we were talking about earlier, Marcus. This game makes video games like a fun mystery to figure out again.
Yeah.
So often you go into a game before it comes, like weeks before it's come out, you know everything about it because of all the, you know, the way game previews work, the way that, you know, games leak early, the way that, you know, you can go read achievements or trophies or whatever, and you can just see, you know, everything a game has to have, and games are designed so that you see everything a game has to offer.
Yeah.
This game does none of that. This game has no interest in telling you where to go or what
to do. They didn't tell you anything. Like, even the trailers and none of the, like, coverage, like, none of that told you anything. And,
no.
Like, you think back to E3 and the entire E3 was them like dropping you in this world and like saying go, just like go do stuff. And they were so confident that like even with what they were showing you in that section wasn't really showing you anything. It was just showing you like, I don't even know what it was showing you. It was just showing you that this game would let you do stuff.
Yeah.
But it didn't tell you the like extent, like basically everyone went in blind. And what we discovered was that this world was just like,
and to an extent, everyone still is.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that we shared today, you know, like I had done something that you hadn't done. You've been playing the game, you know,
over 60
longer
hours
than I have. And there are things that you're telling me that I had no idea about. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the conversation that everyone's having is no one really knows like what this game has inside. It's like, did you go here? Did you see this? I heard a rumor that this was here.
Yeah.
And I haven't felt that way about video games since probably middle school, at least, maybe even earlier.
I think earlier than that. I feel like, and one, it was still in the context usually of Zelda games. It's like when I was having those conversations, or like other, like 3D.
I remember hearing weird things about Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask.
Mario
a lot
64.
Of weird things about Majora's Mask. Mario, Glover, weirdly enough.
Yeah.
And
Donald.
Yep.
Yeah. And oh gosh, like Turok.
Turok.
Basically, like all the N64 era games, yeah. Like Diddy Kong Racing, there's a bunch of weird stuff.
Yeah.
And like, this game feels like that. Very quickly, Valerie, what are your impressions of Zelda, having watched me play it and listened to me play it and all the chimes and jingles and jingles?
You spend a lot of time cooking. Just a lot of time seeing that little food bounce in that little pot.
I like when you make a like recipe that has milk in it, and like he just drops a bottle of milk.
And he just cooks
a glass jar of milk, and it's just and then poof, and it's a dish.
It's
an actual dish.
You got to change your horse's mane.
Yes,
style.
I'm rocking a sexy purple mane.
I didn't know you could do that. It's crazy.
Link got to. I don't know what the correct terminology would be.
Are you gonna get all spoilery? Are you getting all spoilery?
Dude, I don't even know what would be a spoiler and what would not. So probably
that's
not.
That's
the problem with this game is you don't know what to say and what not to say. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I did this thing, but I don't know if I can tell you.
I love how the community has been so...
They've been cool about it.
Has been so... I was thinking of a word, and I was about to say it, and as I was saying it, it just ran away from my lips.
Flew away like a little bird.
But they've been so sincere.
Like a bloopy.
Yeah, what?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but people have just... You're right. They've just been cool about it, and like have been very respectful of like dancing around certain things, and it's kind of getting to that point where like there's some things that you have to reasonably expect that people know by now, but there's still so much that people cannot know that it's kind of hard to like really talk about things. So like what I've noticed people doing is just, you know, hinting at things, and then if the other person's like, okay, yes, then like that's their like way to like go deeper and like really talk about those topics. So like if I say, so have you found that one thing that kind of flies and you know is like kind of, you know, might be tinted red, whatever, and then if like Valerie's like
pick up on the clues,
yeah you kind of like piece it together, and then if they bite, you're like, okay, cool, then,
yes,
then
okay.
Like,
we can have this conversation,
so let's go there, and then if they're not, I'm always like, all right, well, just you wait.
Yeah.
Just you wait.
I have lots more doing that game, and I look forward to doing it. I should probably get back to playing other games, though, because there are other games that exist.
Do you have a desire to?
I mean, kind of. I still haven't played Overwatch with a new character at all. You know, I've still got a long list of games I still need to beat. That game deserves all the praise it's getting. It's not perfect, but I think people are pretty honest about what it, you know, what the issues it has. This game should change open world games forever, and if it doesn't, then developers are not doing their jobs.
Yeah.
That's really all I got. I've been playing a lot of Zelda. What have you done since our last recording, Marcus?
I've been playing a lot of Zelda. So, you know, I also had a birthday.
Yeah, you did.
Welcome to the big 3-0. Yeah.
The big four three. At least that's what my coworkers think, who also think that I have children.
43.
One of them is yourself.
One of them is, yes. Yeah. No, I had a birthday, and it ended up being a themed birthday. I had...
Was the theme social anxiety? Because that was how mine and Valerie's night went.
The theme? Yes, it was. So, on my Facebook thing, I did this like Facebook thing, and in my description of what the night would be, I basically said, don't make it weird. And that was my one rule. I was like, look, there's going to be a lot of people who've never met.
Uh-huh.
Mixing friend groups is like the most terrifying thing.
The most dangerous game.
And my parents are going to be there too. Just please don't make it weird. And every time I like posted some sort of update, I always ended it by saying, don't make it weird. And that kind of became the theme and the running joke of the night. As it were, no one made it weird. I was very happy about it.
What about feeling weird?
People probably felt... How did you feel? So, I feel like you have something...
I think we have a story to tell you.
Okay. Uh-huh. Is this something that I just haven't heard yet? Because this sounds like you're about to drop something on me.
I mean, big scheme... wasn't a big deal, and the moment was the only deal.
Okay. All right. Lay it on me.
Should I go or should you go?
You can go. Proceed.
Okay. So we show up, and we're like, you know, we're like within the first half of the group that gets there. Like we were there like...
There's like a long table, two tables put together.
Big, big, long, you know, center table. We were in the back of the restaurant.
Went to BJ's to get those sweet, sweet pizookies.
Yes. So we get there, and, you know, there's... We had the option, we could sit side by side, we could sit across the table from each other, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll go walk around the side of the table, and I'll sit across from Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk down the long end of the table to come back around to then sit across from Valerie. When I get to the appropriate seat, I realize that Valerie is not sitting across from me. She is now sitting, like, two seats over.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh.
I remember this.
Okay, that's weird. So I scoot over once to be like, because I saw that you were sitting. She was sitting across from you now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just scoot over. And I sat next to the seat that would be next to you, but that was the seat someone else was already in.
It's reserved, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay. So then
I did not notice that seat would be reserved.
I scooted. Well, no, I did because she told me.
Well, I didn't prior to moving over. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, I'm telling the story. Here we go. We're going to start. We're about to reenact this whole night. So I move back over. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I need a chart.
I guess Valerie will, like, she'll move over and sit across from me because otherwise, it'd be kind of.
I was surprised
weird.
That Valerie did not move.
No, so Valerie keeps talking to her friend.
A friend I haven't seen in a while.
Melanie.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay. And so I'm sitting here waiting for her to sit, you know, across from me. And then that seat goes away because someone sits down, and then like all of a sudden, like all the seats were filled. So all of a sudden,
after that point, nobody was moving. Whereas before, nobody people were moving, was moving around.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to Gary, which was good, but Gary had, you know, he was with his group before.
Yeah.
It's like he was kind of locked in that situation. And then I was sitting next to your big brother from your fraternity from college, which is fine. Like I've talked to him before, but he also, you know, he was with his girlfriend. Like that was his whole thing.
Yeah.
And so across from me sat your big brother's, no, your little, was he your little brother?
My little brother, my big brother's obviously grand little.
Sure. That was, I don't know.
Fraternities.
So he came on his own, but then he, you know, him and Adam and were then like locked in the triangle. So I was basically, there was a square of people next to me and a triangle like in front and beside me. And then Valerie was like outside. And so
she was like two seats down.
And so like, I don't know like what about like that specific like, mixture of events caused. I just went like panic mode. Like, no, it wasn't funny. Like I was kind of freaked because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I was like, I'm sitting here like trying to, I spent 20 minutes just staring at my menu just because I didn't know what else to do. Because I was afraid to talk to anybody, and I was trying to like I was texting Valerie like, what happened? How did we get here? What went wrong? I feel super weird. And she's just like, I don't know. I can't do anything. I was like, well, you should have. She's like, I know, but I didn't, and now I can't, so I don't know what to do. So like dinner time, not the best for me.
Oh, sorry. I had no idea either.
It was okay. By the end of the night, totally fine. We were good. Had a good time. Night overall, very good.
After dinner, freaking recovered.
But I don't know like what happened, like what, because like I know Gary, I know Adam, like
you knew these people, like
I think I felt like because they had their own groups, like I feel like I couldn't like enter into like without like feeling like I was like clinging on, and because it was like two of them like all around me, like I didn't know what to do, and I didn't want to like be talking over, you know, Adam's girlfriend to talk to Valerie, and I was like, I guess I'm just gonna sit here.
Yeah.
But so there's that.
Wow. So you had like your own little adventure.
I had my own little adventure.
Like, yeah. No, that's cool. yeah, it was a part of that craziness happened because my parents like were gonna come, and then everyone was like, oh, they should sit next to you. And so, and I was like, I don't know if they would even want to, whatever. And then like, someone was like, oh, well, they should sit next to you. I was like,
okay, sure.
Yeah, makes sense. And like, so we did this like other game of like shuffle of trying to move people over so that I would have seats next to me, so that my parents could sit next to me. And so that like messed up a lot of things too. And then a bunch of people went to different BJ's locations. And like, so some people came later, and like this, and this one couple who I invited, they went to a wrong one, and then they're like, we're just not coming.
No.
And I was like, no. No, that's not what's supposed to happen. I need you. And so I basically begged them, and like then they came, but then I forgot. So I had seats saved for them, but then one of my friends came really late, and I was like, oh no. This throws off the entire balance because now there's only one seat left when there should be two seats left. And then I started panicking too, but I panicked really coolly.
Mm-hmm.
So like no one knew that I was panicking, but like that whole like first hour before we ordered, before like everyone got there, I was just like on edge of like trying to like strategically place people. And then the waiter,
like,
would just never take our order. Like, we, like, sat there for, like, 90 minutes, and then he
it was a while.
And, like, I kept on, like, trying to be, like, hey, like, hey, come here. And, like,
And then Valerie and Melanie, who she's next to begin with, they ended up splitting, like, two, they were two people apart by the time.
But then
they split dinner.
Yes.
And then I was like, and so the dude comes, he's like, oh, like, what checks you on? I'm like, I'm myself, the girl over there and two seats down that way, and then I guess the girl, another also over down two seats.
Yes.
And I think he thought I was being a creeper and was like, just like buying people food.
I don't think he thought that.
I don't think he thought that.
He probably didn't. I was in a weird mindset at that point. But then it was a whole weird thing. But yeah. Group dinners are crazy.
Yes. I think it was a successful group dinner, as group dinners go.
I've had worse.
I've had it worse on...
On your own birthday.
On my own birthday previous years, so...
Oh, man.
So maybe this just means that at every group dinner, there's someone that feels really awkward. This time it wasn't Marcus.
Yeah.
Which is good, because it was your birthday.
Yeah.
There you go.
Where, like, typically, I feel awkward and it's my birthday. Mm-hmm. Which is terrible. I remember this one year, I also went to BJ's. I honestly, Like, if like I could just go there and just get the Pazookies, I totally would. And like that's why I like going there for my birthday. But this one year I went there, I invited like a ton of people, and then like 5 people showed up.
Total?
It was like 8 total. But like I had this table that I could seat like 30.
Oh no, I bet they loved that.
And then next to me was one of my Chapman friends, and it was his birthday. Table just as long, and it was filled to the brim. No. And it was, and I just felt so embarrassed and sad. And it was like the worst thing. But then after dinner, there was like part 2 of this birthday thing. So first part was dinner, second part was going back to my place and, you know, playing games and like hanging out. And so we played, like, I had a lot of things ready. I had a lot of things ready.
Well, I went down, like, a whole, like, list of things the day before. We were like, okay, we got this and this and this and this.
We have this game.
We were playtesting games.
Yeah, and, like, we only ended up playing one game, which is the Jackbox Party Pack.
Some people play the Switch later.
Yeah.
There are 1-2 games.
Yes, there are 1-2 games. And, we played TKO, which we talked about on the show, like, in our, I guess, first season.
Yes.
But it's this game where, like, you hook it up to your TV, and then everyone draws on their phones, and, like, you're basically trying to, like, make these T-shirt designs. So everyone can, like, easily join in, because everyone has a phone, and they can just play.
There are a lot of... I mean, do we want to save more of this for our main topic?
Have we put a pin in it?
Yeah.
We can delve into the logistics of TKO.
We could, games like that. This could be our jumping off point. So we could pin and break it.
What's the fellow Valor? Do you want to give our 2-minute Marzipan update?
I can give you a quick 2-minute Marzipan update. Marzipan minute.
Okay, I actually am looking forward to this because I have a confession. I'm starting to like marzipan.
It's because she's magical. She changes hearts and minds.
Yeah.
In her favor.
I pet her today. Twice.
Baby steps.
Yeah. So how's marzipan doing?
She's doing great. I'm looking at her right now. Hi. Oh my gosh. Hi, are you doing so pretty?
That's going to play really well.
I'm sure. I don't care. I have no shame. She has a new spot, which is we have a rocking chair that we got from some family friends, and we don't use it that often because we just don't. But she uses it all the time now because she's claimed it. So now when we work at our office, she sits there in the rocking chair, and when she gets bored or lonely, she picks up said 33-cent mice and carries them to us and drops them at our feet and then yells at us.
Is that what she sounds like?
That's what she sounds like, yeah.
Sounds like a Viking battle call.
We thought she couldn't really meow because she normally just has this really like dry, raspy meow. It's adorable.
Her hungry food meow.
But that's all we'd ever heard.
It's like...
And so one day we hear like that. This like full-blown like yell. And we're like, what is happening?
This, like, cat bellow.
And
like Little Simba?
Yeah, like I thought it was like a cat from outside. I was like, what is going on? And then out she trots with the mouse in her mouth just yelling away. Pretty good.
It's monster.
How's her diet?
She's on a high protein, low carb cat diet because she's got a little
extra.
She's got a lot to love.
She's so
we're
extra.
trying to get her for beach season. You know,
yeah,
got to bulk up.
Yeah, and she's still cool. Mm-hmm.
Bikini cat body.
You know it.
Bikini.
We have made some experiments with potential cat wear.
Cat costumes.
Oh my
god. We came across some fan art.
I don't like her that much.
Of a dog in some Overwatch costumes, and it was pretty great, and so it gave us ideas. We'll see where that rabbit trail leads.
That kitty trail?
Yes.
Kitty cat trail.
Well, Any other last minute updates, or is that bad about it from Mars Pan?
That's all I got for
her teeth, week. Very sharp.
Has she bit you?
Yeah. She bites like
play bites.
Yeah.
Play bites. Play bites.
Very few like play vicious bites. But they're sharp. Well, should we take a quick break and then continue our party talk?
I guess so.
All right. Well, we'll be right back. In the meantime, grab your party shoes, party hat, party clothes, and bring us some presents because we're going to get it on.
You stole my joke.
Sorry. Be right back. Welcome back, party people. We had a party break. Did you have a party break? We partied. We broke.
I forgot to pee.
So did I.
Why didn't neither of us do? None of us peed.
As soon as you forget that you have to pee, then you won't need to pee.
Well, it's the racehorse thing. We're gonna do really good the second half. I'm gonna start our timer. Doing great.
You're doing great.
We're doing great. You'd think by 29 episodes we'd have like a super slick, like robotic, automated, cascading, amazing sequence of recording prowess.
Well, I want to ask you about that. What would you say about upgrading our equipment?
I would say there's literally no lower we can go, so I'm for it.
Okay, let it be so.
We could go lower. This could be a voice memo.
This could be, yeah.
This could be a voice memo.
Okay, the only sure. notch lower.
We are a step ahead. Or could we be using like the iChat microphone?
Yeah.
Like the commercials say, we can use.
I'm gonna get us some new stuff.
Well, don't steal it.
No promises?
Cool. Well, let's have a party. We're gonna toast to our future new equipment.
Toast!
What a gross sounding toast.
It sounds even worse on the headphones. Enjoy that, guys. So, our topic for today, Marcus, was actually inspired by your birthday and my impending birthday.
Yeah, that's next week.
It is next week, Monday. I turn 22.
I'm like twice your age.
You are. You're so old.
I'm 43. You're going to be 22. You're
going to be 22.
It's crazy.
It's awesome.
It's not.
How would you know?
I've seen his birth certificate.
Oh, have you?
Have you?
I saw his social security card because I got married.
She's starting a birther movement, round two.
Oh, no.
Look at this girl.
So our topic is going to be, drumroll please. What are some good games for a party?
Oh!
However, we have talked about some specific games before.
Yes.
And so we can talk about those again, but I think our focus today should be how you would set up, like, let's say I was planning a birthday party and I wanted to, like what you did,
mm-hmm.
have, you know, just little stations and locations to bring all my diverse, many, 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 many friends.
You have other black friends than me?
I have, like, two.
No!
Yeah! Bring a bunch of friends together, some who know each other, some who don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what games, video or non-video games, are kind of in the zeitgeist, what the kids are doing these days.
Mm.
Because I feel like party games have changed, and the idea of what party games are has kind of changed, and there's kind of a resurgence of party games.
Yeah.
And party video games. And so I just want to talk, like, one, what games are there, and two, what about those games makes them good for large social gatherings?
So,
we mentioned TKO earlier.
Yeah, I want to go back to that first.
It's Devin's new favorite goof.
Well, it's good. I love it. No, I mean, TKO, we played that at my birthday, and I was surprised by how people took to it.
I was real nervous when we started it.
Yeah, I was like,
Because that setting that up is always difficult because half the people are talking at a given party. Half the people are talking, and then people are like, hey, what do I do? How do I do it? It's not working. Yeah. What do I do? And you're like, just be chill.
Yeah.
It'll come together.
And it's also that thing of like, are people just like, is this too much of a stretch to ask them to participate? Mm-hmm. Because TKO is a game where the payoff doesn't come for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You don't start doing the fun game part.
Yeah, people have to diligently do phone homework for all that time until you see the results.
And so I was I know some of my friend group would be really into it, but there was enough of the other friend group mm-hmm. where I was I don't know if this is going to work out, but people are open to it, so I'm not going to I'm just going to let it happen.
I could tell which of your friends were the video game fan gamers. Friends because they're couch side immediately, and everyone else is what's going on? What?
Went over really, really well.
It did, and I think the best example to point to would be the woman who broke us apart, Valerie Melanie. Mm. Because she came, was like, I don't know about these video games. What's a video game?
Yeah.
But she, she played along. She got her phone. She logged in after we had to decipher your crazy internet.
Your 36 character password.
Yeah.
And she was one of the people having the most fun with those games.
She won the game. Mm-hmm. So in TKO, you basically everyone draws random pictures and then random phrases, and it gets thrown into this bank. And then everyone, after they've all done submitted their stuff through their phone, they basically take someone's random drawing and someone's random phrase and then makes a t-shirt design from it. And then everyone in the room votes on those t-shirt designs. Then what's really cool is that at the end, you could actually buy the shirts that you made.
Can and
did. If you really want it for less than $20.
Yeah. So I think six people really bought shirts, including myself. And I got it over the weekend and really? I wore it to... and I wore it to work.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
Yeah, I should have bought it. That's okay. But do you want to explain what the winning shirt was?
Well, the winning drawing and winning phrase were submitted by yours truly over here. I think. Oh gosh, I drew a little cartoon balloon.
Yeah,
with kind of like
chubby cheekbones.
That Adventure Time style face, where it's a backward C, a line, and then a forward C, mm-hmm. and then my caption was fake news.
Yeah.
So.
I believe it was hashtag fake news.
No, nope. It wasn't. It was just fake news.
Oh. It was just fake news.
Yeah.
And that shirt won, and I wore it proudly yesterday, and I got a lot of comments on it, and a lot of people liked it. Uh-huh. A lot of people were just confused because it's a confusing shirt because it's a balloon that just says fake news, and it doesn't really mean anything, but it can have a lot of implications.
If you wanted to apply meaning to that, you could.
Yeah, yeah. You totally could.
What's in a balloon? Bunch of hot air.
Yep.
There you go.
I bring that game up as a jumping off point as to answer your question of what makes a good party game. It's something the best party games to me are games that are simple in premise, but that, there's so much variance, and where the game can write itself. Mm-hmm. Another game I had there that we didn't play, but we could have played, was Cards Against Humanity, mm-hmm. where that game's gonna be different and funny every time, depending on who you're with, mm-hmm. Depending on the cards that you draw. And it just, it's like a game that can create its own conversations, a game that can just jumpstart its own dialogue, and also, there are also games that you can, that stick with you. So I just told this story about what happened at this party, but I know when I've played certain games in the past, these become stories that I tell, Remember that one time when we were playing Life, and then you hit the whatever space, and then Gary got mad and flipped over the table, and you know, and like games like that, mm-hmm. like can kind of like create these memories.
So I actually kind of want to see if we can come up with like a distinct list.
Okay.
Like here's like the three things or four things wherever we think, you know, party games do. So one of them, you know, you said simple premise.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably gonna come in. Oh yeah, that's coming in. This the sound you're hearing is the sound of me writing.
ASMR.
Yeah, this is some good audio. We're trying to bring you into it.
Hope you're getting that frisson in the back of your neck.
No, I apologize for that. I will not be writing on the table anymore. It was a gross noise. So simple premise. I'm trying to think of a phrase for the second thing you're talking about. Is like opportunity for like self-expression or like
variability.
Variability,
but I think like more specifically like personal variability, because something is just random.
Is it agency? Maybe
agency is nice. I like agency,
but it's not exactly agency. It's like maybe creative agency.
Creative variance, creative...
Creatine.
You have lots of creatine. It's, all that protein powder?
It's whey protein.
Whatever. You have like 8 pounds of it.
Most of those bottles are empty.
I have some high protein cat food if you want that too.
I don't, but thank you for the offer. It's very sweet of you.
It's really high in protein.
I'm sure it is.
And the other one, I think, is the game... Not plays itself, but, you know, like TKO, you know, the game is going to move forward without someone needing to, like, specifically say, like, we're going to move forward now.
Hmm.
Card Against Humanity, like, you're going to have a next turn.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's simple, there's room for creativity, and it's...
Perpetuating? It's self-perpetuating?
Not self-sustaining. Maybe. The last thing, though, I think was really important is, like, it creates memorable moments. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think a party game a lot of us are probably familiar with is catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that game does all these things. Watch catchphrase. You get a word. Describe it to the group, but don't use the words that are the word.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone can do that. It's creative because you have to literally be creative. And that's going to rely on yourself, your experiences, your memories, your ability to react and think on your feet. It's on a timer, so the game is, you know, your turn is going to end. And there's always that moment where you're going to remember, Jordan couldn't think of a way to make us say football.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? Or, like, or you know, like, Valerie got laundromat by just, like, you know, Sarah looking at her.
Yeah, yeah. There's always these.
So
like,
you have
moments.
Like those specific moments that are made. My problem is, are we just describing video games? Do all video games do this?
In a way, yes. But I think the important part is simple premise. I think because so, have I talked about Game Truck on the show?
I think you've mentioned that it's a thing. I don't know how much you've talked about it specifically on the show.
So. On the weekends, I work at this game truck, basically, where I drive this giant trailer to, like, events.
Hey, like our president.
Yeah?
Toot toot!
Yeah? I didn't really get the joke, but yeah?
He was greeting, like, truck drivers over the weekend, and oh. There's a photo up of him. Driving trucks.
I missed that one.
Yeah,
because
you should look into it.
Because I was driving my own trucks.
The memes are strong.
Okay. I'll definitely follow up. But like basically my job is to facilitate video game parties. And so I opened the door of this truck and it's filled with TVs and video game consoles and I put the games in and I look at the age group. I look at like the ratio of guys to girls. I look at all of these things and I'm making judgments of like, what are these?
The wariness of the parents.
Yes. It's like, what are these usually kids going to like? And so seeing this, it's been so enlightening about like,
mm-hmm.
like what people gravitate towards, and like what people who don't play games gravitate towards, what people who are really into games play. And the one thing that's a universal hit, other than Minecraft, which like the kids like demand it, like
yeah,
like for sure. That's just always on, whatever. But like, is Smash Brothers, and for us, we know like how deep that game can be. It's
which
like,
one are you, running the Wii U one?
Yeah, yeah, okay. We're running the Wii U one, and it's a really complex game. Really, it can be super technical and like super deep. With all, it's like a fighting game with all of these Nintendo characters. So like Mario, Link, Pikachu, they're like you can fight each other with like all of them, and there's all these advanced mechanics, like, you know, dodging, teching, shielding, like all of these like finger intense moves that you have to do with your controller to really do all of these like fancy things. But at the base level of the game, you're like pressing punch and you're pressing like use your special move.
There at its core level, there are two buttons.
Yeah.
And from that game.
And it's also eight players.
Yes.
So eight people can play at one time. And so you with that many people, it's just chaos anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So like you put eight kids in front of this TV playing Smash Bros, just like mashing buttons, and they're laughing and they're smiling and no one's good. Everyone's like, everyone's just having a crazy fun time though. And when Sakurai, who made that game, like the fans were like, this is a fighting game. But Sakurai, the creator, was like, no, this is a party game. I made this to be a party game. So when we go back to our list, like because Smash can be played on such a simple level, like that barrier to entry is so easy. Mm-hmm. Like people can just get in and not really know what they're doing and like still have fun. Mm-hmm. There's like so much variance where like so much randomness. That every match is different. It kind of like every fight is its own story, and memories are legitimately like created through that. And
I added something to the list.
Yeah, okay.
Success not necessary for fun. I think that is one of the key things for party game, and one of the main things that separates it from other video games.
Yeah,
as a whole.
Yeah,
a party game. Lots of people. Not everyone's gonna win by definition.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to win to have fun, that's a bad party game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So TKO, yeah, you technically won because you know.
I technically you won. Melanie technically
also, yeah. You made the thing, so you won. Melanie put the two things together, so she won. But no one cares because everyone enjoyed that game. Smash Brothers, those kids. Yeah, the one who probably wins is probably going to gloat a little bit, but
gloat, you know, a lot of it.
Yeah, I beat you. You all suck. I'm like, kid,
but for the most part, outside. For the most part, the other seven kids are probably not all like bummed out.
Yeah,
because you're Mario and Pikachu, like you're your favorite characters, and you get to be them.
Yeah,
and you get to have those matchups. I want to see Mario go fight the dog from Duck Hunt. You so can crazy. Do that.
You can actually. Do that. Yeah, that's a really good one.
So I think an example of a it's a party game, but something more for specific gamers, games like Towerfall.
Yeah.
But I think all these rules still apply. You have to be comfortable with, you know, a controller and game mechanics, but the premise is simple. Jump around, shoot arrows, kill each other. You have to be creative, and you're allowed to be creative. You can do interesting, unique things with the levels. Mm-hmm. You have lives. The timer's always moving. The level itself is always changing to push you towards your opponent. So you have to meet each other and have conflict. There are lots of memorable moments performed. And you can, but every time, but I have a blast playing that game.
Yeah.
Because win or lose, I'm a little dude with a bow and arrow doing cool things and jumping on ghosts. Valerie, you are quite the fan of TKO and of the Jackbox Party Pack in general. We also played
Trivia Murder Party.
Which you were very close to winning. I was very close to winning. You were dominating.
Good at trivia games in general.
So what is it about the Jackbox games overall? Because, you know, there's Fibbage, there's Quiplash, there's Drawful, there's this that statistic one.
Can I alter that question?
Sure, a little bit? Yeah.
Which ones are your favorite, and like which ones aren't as fun to you? Because then we can check it against this list.
Okay.
Let's see. I mean, I like TK, obviously, because I like drawing on my phone. But aside from that, it's got this sort of, like, mid-90s anime vintage Pokemon aesthetic going on, which I just like watching. So that's mostly why.
It's kind of got that it's the Pokemon Go effect.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't really matter what it is, because artistically and visually, it's hitting those nostalgia centers.
Yep.
It's like, oh, I remember watching TV like this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, there's the... Okay, Quiplash is the one... Is that where it gives you prompt, and then you have to think of funny?
Blank. Yeah.
That one's pretty good, but it's good if you're with a group of, like...
You need...
People who are, like, on, or, like, who like making goofs like
who
that.
Who are funny.
Yeah, or in or so many words.
Who either are funny or are so not funny that it's perfect.
Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, that one's probably a little bit more dependent on the group.
So, we'll start there. Mm-hmm. TKO, what's the first thing on this list?
Simple premise. This one's a little shaky. The premise is simple, but getting there is a little bit of work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the premise is you're making pictures, you're making phrases, and you're making T-shirts. Yeah. You're making graphic tees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're just designing T-shirts.
So you can explain that in a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it takes forever. It
takes forever.
Mm-hmm. Creative.
It's very creative.
Creative nothing expression.
But creativity. I mean, yeah, the result is dependent on how funny your info can be. A case in point. My gems.
A contained experience. That's what I came across for pushing forward. Contained. Yeah. It's contained. It's not going to... You know.
It's not like Monopoly, which could last freaking forever.
Like, you're never asking, are we done?
Yeah.
I know. I mean, even though our group had 8 people, which is the maximum number of players, it only lasted, like, I don't know, 20 minutes.
It was always moving forward.
No. Memorable moments.
Definitely.
Got a T-shirt out of it.
We have solidified memories. Uh-huh.
Chobin.
Yes.
Chobin almost took it.
Very memorable.
And finally, success not necessary.
Success was not necessary.
Not in the slightest.
At all. Mm-hmm. Like, people who weren't playing still had a lot of fun just, like, watching
it. Just watching it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just watching it unfold.
So what about... Well, let's just run this against Cards Against Humanity real quick.
Yeah.
Simple premise.
I mean, anyone who's played Apples to Apples knows how to play Cards Against Humanity. And Apples to Apples isn't that hard to learn, so
it's
pretty simple.
They have kids' versions of it, so it can't be that hard. Yeah. Creative expression.
Yeah.
Memorable moments, very much so. Mm-hmm. Contained. This one can drag on, because there's always... It's do you play to 7? Do you just play all the cards?
Yeah.
And then by the end, you end up with, like, your random cards, and you're like, I can't do anything with these. And
most games of both Cards Against Humanity and Apples to Apples just end when people are saying, I'm tired.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's how most of those games end.
Yeah.
So I guess that's an end, but I guess it can be hard to contain if it's not defined from the get-go. Success not needed for fun.
It's not at all.
No.
Success is, like, the fun... is just hearing everyone's answers.
Mm-hmm.
Does a party game, maybe we add a sixth thing, like, does it have to be inherently social, since parties are social gatherings?
Possibly. So here's my surprise entry.
Okay.
is a game that I love very much, and I brought to several. Oh, here it is. Here's my. I used to be a youth leader. Plug of the week.
I thought we were getting the whole episode, but you're mentioning it. Oh man.
And that is the Fantasia game, the dancing game, the Kinect Fantasia dancing game. I brought that to a few of our overnight all-nighter events. I don't know if that game is inherently social, but it is easily made social, I suppose. Something like Rock Band, you can play that solo and have it fun. You can play that with a band and have fun.
I mean, even a solo game can be made social if there's a willing audience that wants to watch it.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of a game that absolutely would not work. Like a game like, I don't know, Horizon.
Yeah.
Like Horizon's not a party game.
No.
Zelda probably not.
The thing is, like, I mean, anything can be a social activity if you frame it as that. So, like, I've been watching this Netflix series called Love, and what the main character does with his friends is that they write theme songs for movies that don't have theme songs, and so they turn the act of watching a movie into a social
collaborative thing.
So I think from that perspective, yes, like any game could be social, but I think the difference with like Rock Band is that, like,
is it the path to social interaction is very clearly laid out.
Yeah, and it's all about that, like being a showboat. It's like all about impressing your friends or like competing with friends or like knowing that really hard song. It's like the very. It's the video game equivalent of karaoke, which is
quite literally
a video game in itself.
That's true. Karaoke is literally a video game.
It's actually a video game. I mean, people don't see it as one, but you're looking at a video. You're trying to match the songs. You know, you're trying to sing along with these like timed out things. Like it's a video game. Rock Band is just the guitar version of that. And karaoke is like one of the most done social activities, you know.
Yeah. Yes, I would say, how would we word that? Social interaction. Built-in social interaction.
Good with the group. I don't know.
Group fun.
There you go. Group fun. How about we end on this with our last few minutes? Let's imagine the best non-existent party game we can think of. Or a party game we've always wanted that we've never really seen made or done well. What would be a good party video game?
I don't know. That's hard.
How would we simplify? Are there any gaps that haven't been filled yet? We have trivia. We have music.
You have art.
We have drawing.
Pictionary, all that stuff.
I mean, that's kind of what Jack Bock tries to do. You try to cover all the corners.
They have a breadth.
Yeah.
They haven't done a lot of things with physical stuff. They did that with their last game. There's that one where you're raising hands and it's like a weird, like...
Oh, yeah.
I haven't actually played the game with a full group yet. I've heard mixed reviews on it. Some people had a blast, some people have not. I don't know if there's been a really good dancing game since DDR.
Yeah. In terms of being a party game.
Or just like really about the, like, because we have Just Dance. It's been successful for Ubisoft. They're making them for well over a decade. But I don't know. And it, what was the harmonics one? Dance Central.
I mean, people really like those games. I don't know. But, like...
They never really caught on the way that other party games have. They're not
a... Yeah, I feel like they're not a party game.
Are we just lazier now?
No, I mean... I mean, yes. I mean, they're for a very specific audience, but that would still be... I just can't imagine my sister, who is a dancer, and all of her friends are dancers.
I have a better final thing. I think we should just pivot on this, because okay. We have missed a very obvious entry that might be for a reason. We have not talked about 1-2 Switch in this context yet this entire time.
Yes, we have not.
We mentioned it once, like, for 2 seconds. Yeah. That was there. That was a party game. Mallory, you and I literally danced in a game like that.
We did.
Why wasn't that memorable? Why have we just forgotten all about that already? What about that made that? Because, yes, I had fun playing that game a little bit, but it generally didn't even register in my mind that, oh, we also played 1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about the idea of playing Cards Against Humanity before we talked about actually playing 1-2 Switch.
Yeah, we actually played it.
So where does 1-2 Switch go wrong, and what could 1-2 Switch have done to be a better game?
Yes, maybe this is only because we were running throughout the games for the first time, but there was so much tutorial.
Yeah.
Like, so much tutorial that you're just, like, for, like, 30 seconds at an end, just, like, watching these little video rolls.
let's put it against our test.
Yeah.
Simple premise.
Depends.
I would say yes, but to what you just said, there's so much happening all at once that it's, yes, each game is simple, but you have to then be taught a very different thing each time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the wizard thing, you know, was like a 2-minute intro. And then you play that game for 30 seconds, and then you have to learn how to play the dice thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to learn how to play the shootout one, then the milk one. So yes, but.
I think, so also in Game Truck, we just got the Nintendo Switch.
Okay, you did get them.
Cool. And if I have a small party of like 10 or less kids, like, that's when I'll bring it out, if they seem more mature.
Chill.
And like, they're not going to break it.
Eat it.
Yeah. and so we've been playing 1-2 Switch, and I've seen just, like, people who've never played it just, like, get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know the games that they like, which are all the ones from the commercial.
Yeah.
So, like, Quick Draw, mm-hmm. Wizard, and there's, like, some clear winners. And, like, I think if we take the winners and compare the winners against the hits list, because there's like over 25 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can easily see why some of these games are really successful and why other of these mini games just like fall flat.
So what's a fall? So let's do Quick Draw.
Quick Draw.
Quick Draw. What's the premise?
See who has faster reaction times.
Your cowboy shootout.
Yeah.
High noon. Mm-hmm. Creative expression.
There's none.
No.
Well,
I would say there is.
There is. There actually is. Yeah, yeah. Because you can try to distract your opponents, try to make them laugh, or like really get in.
Look your opponent in the eye.
You get into the like cowboy role. Like all of those things just kind of like happen organically.
Mm-hmm.
And like the people are creating that. Like not the game. The people are like the ones who are making that happen.
Memorable moments.
Definitely. Definitely.
Contained experience.
Super contained.
Yep.
I think that's the one thing that all of the Switch games have. They're all contained.
Mm-hmm. Group fun.
People watching that get into it too. Like, it becomes this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, group fun.
Success not necessary for fun.
Here's where it all kind of breaks down, because while like, yes, since these are all one versus one games, like, it kind of is, like, you kind of, because it's only two people playing, so, like, you're either winning or you're losing. I think 1v1 games are kind of hard to, like, be fun for everyone versus if it was, like, five people. But overall, I think, yes, this is a good party game.
So what's one of the least popular ones?
One of the least popular ones?
Do you want to do the dice one?
There's not much to say other than... There's a... I don't know how to explain it because
Simple premise. Explain it to me. Can you even?
No, it was too complicated. So there you go.
Fails, so
creative
fails
expression.
One.
No, I mean you no, could, yeah, yeah, because you could like try to bluff or not bluff or
yeah,
anti-bluff or whatever. Bluff.
Was it a contained experience?
Yeah, I mean all the 1-2 Switch mini games are.
Was it memory forming?
Negatively so.
Group fun.
Nah.
That was boring
like,
to watch.
I feel like that was the moment the crowd dispersed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just, we like repelled the crowd.
That killed the party. Everyone left after that game. That was like the last game we all played.
And success necessary for fun?
I don't know.
It wasn't fun, period.
Yeah, it wasn't
fun,
period.
No. Yeah.
And so I think it's just interesting to see that like even within this game that has, that is a collection of like 25 plus games, we could actually legitimately use this list and make a determination. And like based off of what I've seen of just what the kids gravitate towards.
What those kids are into.
What they play without me prompting them. Like the ones that they play, they're hitting off these marks.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular ones are Wizard, Ping Pong, the few others.
The one where you milk the cow.
The cow milking one. Yeah, the kids. The kids really like that one, and then everything else that has like a little bit more requirements of them. It's not really fun. Like they'll do it, but they won't go back to it, or they'll quit early.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Your definitive checklist for a good time, fun time party game.
Do you want to read that back one more time?
Here we go. 1, does it have a simple premise? 2, does it offer opportunity for creative expression? 3, does it form memorable moments? 5. Quick editor's note, you may have just noticed I skipped 4 and went straight to 5. Just wanted to let you know that was entirely intentional and definitely not a mistake on my part. I can super count all the way to 4 and even beyond. Alright. 5. Is it a contained experience? 6. Group fun? And 7. Is success necessary for the fun?
We came up with 7 things?
I thought it was 6, but I just said 7.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah.
Wow.
I was like, well, we might get 3.
Maybe yeah. try hard.
Yeah. Well, not there bad. We go. I think party games are coming back into style.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen them come back in. Jackbox has now had 3 of their packs. They've all done fairly well. Maybe we'll see some things happening with VR once that kind of gets its feet on the ground and we get more units out. I hope to see a better party game for the Switch because there's so much potential there. With the, here, have a controller, let's play a game.
Yeah.
That's great. Jackbox using phones. Everyone's got one. For the most part.
Yeah.
Well, with that, let's bring episode 29 of Trust Circle to
29?
A
oh, yeah.
close.
Yeah, we'll see you 2 weeks from now. We're a bi-weekly show now. Have fun with that. I hope you don't miss us too much.
We're just experimenting.
I have to pee.
Eat vegetables. See you in a bit.
I really need to pee.
Okay, fine. Go pee.
Okay.
Go!